What will the matrix allow? I'm not talking about computer-generated reality like the movie. Matrix just means the ground from which things grow. Are we free? Well, I just posted that on Facebook. So I guess some of my audio blog is composed, prepared beforehand, different modalities feeding into each other, the Facebook feeding into the web blog, different things you could suppose. You might consider how that would go. I don't know. I don't know how that would go. We're gonna have to figure it out. This is like what we're gonna have to figure out. I don't think you would understand the truth if you were shown the truth textually or cinematically. I do not think you would understand the truth if you were shown the truth textually or cinematically. Even the best philosopher, the most advanced mind, educated her whole childhood long with philosophy, culture, discipline, mathematics, freedom, expression. Even this ideally educated philosopher would not be able to understand the truth if she were shown it outright. That is my theory. I'm not sure how correct my theory is, or who would care about a theory like this. It's what I do, what I consider. I guess, I don't know, I just suppose. What happens when you feel good? When you're feeling really good, are there any negative consequences? Do you think you're manic? Manic depression. There is still some depression I'm dealing with. Am I ultra fast bipolar cycler? From down to up and back again in an hour or two, a day or two. I don't think so. I think I'm pretty even keel. I think I'm pretty much on the baseline level these days. Now that I've identified the trigger, the flashback trigger, I think at least, I'm not totally sure. What that means is that there's hope. The flashbacks may be solved eventually if I can avoid the trigger for long enough. It might have a therapeutic effect on me. What you never would have considered. They wouldn't have been able to discover this inpatient, that eye-rolling discipline exercises could cause psychiatric destabilization. You had to discover that on your own. Outpatient. See, some good things can happen outpatient. Yes, the world is big and complex. Reality is scary and highly structured. But outpatient, you can discover some things that might not have been discovered as soon inpatient. Maybe the audio blog enabled you to discover this. Who knows what sort of help it provided? If you're thinking that the effect of producing an audio blog could be that profound, that transformative for you, then I think it could have had some good effects the first 3 episodes. I discovered the trigger after only 2 episodes of audio blog. That's a pretty good rate of return, a pretty good success rate for me. If I could achieve the ultimate success after 2 episodes, what will I do after 4 episodes or 14? Hard to even comprehend how much meaning and truth that would involve. For David, we're talking about David's blog, DCB Spending Time. We're not talking about the world or anyone else's blog. We're just talking about David's. That's what we consider. That's what we figure. Well, in the sense that, what are you doing? The primal questions. What? How? When? Where? Who? Why? I don't think anyone can be certain of how this is happening. I don't think even certain people at certain times really know how this could happen. I just don't see it. Looking at philosophy, looking at journalism, looking at society, culture, and the world, no one understands consciousness. Not even psychiatrists. Not even certain psychiatrists. Well, that was my goal, to understand consciousness. I wanted to reprogram my mind. Why do you want to reprogram? My brother asked me. Well, to write a better book, obviously. I think it's obvious why a writer would want to reprogram his brain, the operating system of his brain. Yes, we're taking metaphors from the field of computer science. Judy's ultimate lesson: be careful which fields you take your metaphors from. I think it's appropriate to take them from the field of computer science. If we are brains, if we are like robots or computers, the brain is a robot brain, ultimately, physically, structurally, unless you are to suppose spooky stuff. The philosophers are very wary of any supposal of spooky stuff. And I have to admit, if you can explain it structurally, physically, if you don't need metaphysical, spiritual substance, dualistic substance, I think your theory probably has better chance at being accepted. But are we talking about the acceptance of a theory, or are we talking about the truth of a theory? Maybe the truth theory, no one will believe it. Maybe no one would be able to believe the truth, even if they were presented with it textually, cinematically, even if they faced the truth head on, they would not understand. That is how cunning, baffling, and powerful consciousness studies is. I wanted to study consciousness. The philosopher said, it's hard to even define consciousness. Well, I think consciousness's definition is rather obvious. It's what happens in a brain, what brains tend to do when they're working nicely, before they've kicked the bucket, before they've received a strong concussion. Before they've put a 9mm bullet in their skull. What brains do when they're working nicely. This is called consciousness. It's hard to explain why we're not philosophical zombies. That is, structures with the computational powers of a brain, but all the computation going on in the dark, without awareness, without a self. No reason why we shouldn't be zombies. In the sense that what you had going on, verbal constructions, is this like something David might construct or deconstruct? David construct, dissolve, David solve, delusion, David illusion. It's coincidental that my first name begins with a D. DT, David Therapy. David Theory. What sort of theory are we working on here? What have we been feeding into this whole time? How would that go? What would you be doing? What would you be supposing? Yes, the government of David. Yes, available for Kindle. Yes, the unspoken yes, getting lots of hits. Apparently, these people do not want to pay for a book. They're willing to hit my website, but they just like the free content. As far as paying for a book, no thank you. This is what would have to happen. How would that have to go? In what sort of world? What sort of world were you thinking about changing? The time. You wanted to change the time. How do you think that would go? Going up against the Matrix. How do you think going up against the Matrix will go? Probably not very well. Probably some difficulty if you're going up against the Matrix. Probably going to encounter some difficulty. What we'd seem to do, how that would seem to go. Different things in your brain, in the brain of David. If we were to look into David's brain, what would we see? What would we see if we looked into David's brain? I don't think you can be certain of that. I don't think it's possible to be certain of that. Even certain people at certain times would probably not be able to see into the workings of David's brain. As Valerie said, "Oh, if only I could know the mechanism of a fool." Even a human fool has a divine mechanism to him. If we could understand a fool, think of that. Let alone a Feynman and Einstein. Just a fool, that's all we want. Or David, what about David's brain? Wouldn't he have described what seems to be happening to him? Wouldn't David have been describing this whole time what was happening to him? Happening to him? Is that what sort of thing goes on here? What does David do? What does David consider having written, having played, having filmed, having spoken audio blog? What does that do to you, do for you, in the sense that what you do, what you consider, is this what David has going on today, here, now, this again? Different things you could be considering. Does David like to rehearse his verbal tics with his web recorder? Is that what a web recorder should be for? Rehearsing verbal tics for the world to join in on. Different things you could imagine, you could suppose. Well, I'm not sure this is what anyone should want to do. Should / could distinctions, / distinctions, in other words. That certain people at certain times, or all the people all the time, could be looking into, should be looking into. The / distinction contains a / in its definition. It's a recursive definition. What you do. Going to the party last night. Lots of alcohol consumption and a bit of marijuana consumption. Didn't bother me though. Sobriety is my main concern. Staying sober. That's my highest priority. For my mind, to poison my mind, to trash my most valuable instrument in life as a writer. My mind has to be highly operational, highly functional. To poison it with alcohol and drugs would seem to be a shame, a crying shame. That's just what I figure, just what I consider. I guess, I don't know, I just suppose. Is this what David does? Does David talk to himself with his web recorder? I guess he does. I guess this is what David does. How important is it? How earth-shattering? World historically important? I'm not sure about that. I don't know that it is important in that sense. I seek to record even when I have nothing to record. I have nothing ready to say right now. It's open. It's empty. The possibilities are infinite. But I think that's the beauty. When I have no agenda, when I have no program, what do I say then? What does David say into his web recorder? That's what we'd like to find out. We'd like to discover what David would say. Yes, he uses repetitive elements, repeated phrases and sentences, almost like they're on a loop, repeat. Why does he do this? Because it enables one to transcend writer's block, writer's schlock, anything to transcend writer's block. If you're a writer, you know how crippling this phenomenon can be. You know how good it would be if you could somehow overcome it. That's what I think. That's just what I suppose. I don't know. I just suppose. Early in the morning, not much saved up to talk about yet. Not much happening yet at this point in the day. But maybe paradoxically, that is a gift. Maybe the emptiness or open possibility of consciousness is the true positive thing. The Buddhists say emptiness. By this, I think they mean space. The mind is like space. Anything can be brought into it to fill up the mind. Anything is possible. The possibilities are infinite. If you have an empty mind that is not blocked by unhealthy tensions, neurotic tensions and repressions. This Marantz handheld recorder really packs a punch. $400 for a pack of cigarettes. Well, good things come in small packages sometimes. Very small. The impact this recorder is having on my life is tremendous. It's a small recorder, but its impact is magnified throughout the World Wide Web. What I consider, what I suppose, or what we suppose David to be doing. David Christian Baird, DCB Spending Time. What sorts of things do you talk about? Whatever, anything. The same things I talk about in therapy or at an AA meeting. Talk about flashbacks, addiction, my life, philosophy, ultra fictional philosophy. I'm pretty open. I'm pretty revealing with the things I talk about. I try not to keep much hidden away. That is the privilege of an audio blogger. The audio blogger can talk about whatever she or he wants to talk about. I guess that's what I'm supposing. What I'm inventing or discovering. Having watched an hour and a half of Zizek earlier tonight, which I know I keep mentioning and will probably mention again, his energy is contagious. But it makes you realize that it's all a show. Philosophy is showmanship. You can completely contrive and prefabricate your presentation. Spontaneity plays less of a role. It depends how well rehearsed you are. What sort of skill you can deliver your shtick with. That's what it seems like. So doing an audio blog, being spontaneous, improvising for the web, I think is something slightly different than a talk. I'm not going from a text. I didn't prepare a shtick. This is totally spontaneous, what I'm doing. So there is a different kind of challenge for me here. The challenge is to be truthful. The challenge is to be interesting. But there is an entertainment value to it as well. What does David do? What are his behaviors when he's being recorded for the World Wide Web? How would one behave in such a situation? You begin to exist in a kind of linguistic fabric. The murmuring of voices all around you forms a backdrop to your own consciousness and its willful chosen activity. doing drugs and alcohol? Is that a matter of willpower? Or, as my dad says, won't power? I happen to be a drug addict and alcoholic. So, I have what I call a crackpot equivalency theory. For an addict, crack and pot are equivalent. Each one is just as bad as the other. All drugs of abuse really work on the dopamine system, which relates to pleasure, pain, and motivation. So I think that crack and pot are each just as dangerous for the addict, the true addict. Now, a normal person can smoke pot and not give in to the addiction, which is defined as getting progressively worse over time. A normal person does not get worse, but uses recreationally. I could not use recreationally. I was a problem smoker. Pot was actually my drug of choice. Is this what you talk about? Is this what you do? Having earlier tonight watched an hour and a half of Zizek talking, the energy, the dynamic he has access to is very attractive to me as a philosopher, or rather as an ultra-fictional philosopher. I'm interested in the energy that such a character can generate with nothing but talking and motions, which include various tics, which make it appear like he might have been doing cocaine very recently. Hands sniffing, nose pinching, hands to the face. Zizek's tics are forgivable. They're excusable. A man with such a powerful intellect is going to have some imperfections in life. He can't be perfect in all ways. Although I do think his atheism is kind of delusional. Do you hear the murmuring of the voices? The wash of the traffic outside translates into a kind of a communication to you. The world spirit communicating to you through the murmur and wash of traffic. Language being mapped onto sensation. Now, if you're doing this kind of mapping, you have a lot of control over what language gets mapped. You can direct your thinking, direct your imagination, so you hear things that you want to be hearing. I would say positive things, but negative things can play a part as well. Bipolar things. Polarity is an interesting concept. Sometimes we like to shift polarity. We like to take a negative experience and make it positive. And I think we also do the opposite sometimes. It can be called revaluation. Revaluing our experience along new lines. Is this what I'm talking about? Is this what I'm actually talking about? Well, I think the listener can judge for her or himself. Who is the listener? Well, I am one of the listeners because I listen to DCB Spending Time regularly. I'm interested in what sort of language I can come up with. I'm interested in the performance of my identity. And I am interested in what I have been sharing with the world, with the web. If I have posted episodes, I'm interested in the content of these episodes. About 20 sessions per episode in reverse chronological order. Different things I could be thinking about, different things I could be doing. Having just watched Zizek talk for an hour and a half, whatever that would do to me. Watching a guy on mindful eating. Now, last night, I found myself being critical of mindfulness, which is the awareness of the present moment with acceptance. I was critical of it because the present moment is not all there is to the story. Indeed, the deep past may contain more truth than the present is able to. And finding the resonance of your thinking along the lines of the memories of your deep past might be a valuable approach to take in opposition to a mindfulness now-oriented approach. Last night I became interested in my memory, in what was past. So I'm not exactly sure mindfulness is the answer to everything. What you were finding out about, what you were actually doing, listening and watching a whole hour of Zizek talking, basically about Marxism and capitalism. I call capitalism the obsession with capital. I call socialism the obsession with the social. Zizek says there are no easy answers. We have to pass through the zero point. Well, I guess I don't have any easy answers either. And my zero point is going to look a bit different than Zizek's looks. He is a Marxist. He is also a follower of Hegel and Lacan, two thinkers I could never totally get into. I couldn't totally get into Zizek either. Some of his stupidities rub me the wrong way. But he is a powerful thinker. He is a popular and important thinker in the real world. He is the center of various people's focus, so I think it might be worthwhile to engage his thought. As I once said, he is the most worthwhile adversary. Although, of course, this will not be a direct engagement because I am a zero in the system. My voice would never come into conversation with Zizek's voice. Well, I don't want to be so pessimistic and negative. It's possible. Maybe one day I would get to talk to Zizek. I don't care. Maybe that's the more important part. I simply don't care to directly talk to him ever. He does his thing. I do my thing. It amounts to the same thing. What kind of silences do you create? Is there an artistry to the act of creating silences? Negative spaces? Are you a motor mouth? Do you always have to talk? What are you open to? What kind of dreams do you have? What do you do with freedom? Are we free? There is physical determinism, psychological, neuroatomic, philosophical determinism, all sorts of determinism, social determinism, legal determinism. It seems like there are a lot of determinisms stacked up against us. But even so, at the intersection of all these forces and knowledges, I think we are free. Here at the intersection, we can say what we want. We can say anything we can dream of saying. We can be as creative as our imagination allows. I think that is a kind of freedom, even though I'm not free to walk into the Porsche dealership and drive away the Porsche of my choice. I don't have that freedom, but that doesn't matter so much. In terms of what actually matters to my life, I'm as free as I know how to be. Maybe it's Zizek's dynamic that I admire. Maybe it's his energy. What's David's dynamic? What is David's energy? That's what we have yet to discover, or what we are in the process of discovering. Do you like to talk about philosophy? Do you like to talk about current events? Politics? the global capitalist system, the consensus trance, the normative matrix, as I call it. What is a matrix? It's not a reference to a Hollywood movie. Matrix just means the ground from which things develop and grow. So carbon and water are the matrices of life on Earth. I say there is a normative matrix which functions in order to keep us all doing the normal type of things. As Janov puts it, heterosexual sex is the most sublime activity that a human could possibly engage in. Why is heterosexual sex natural? Just look at the bodies. Look at the way the bodies are shaped and how they fit together. Well, for Janov, orgasms are consciousness. That is Janov's view of consciousness. Not that I'm rejecting Janov, even though he can't help schizophrenics. Not that I'm wholesale rejecting primal theory. I think he has some important points to make about pain, neurosis, love, repression, struggle, symbolic activity in general. Just that I would say we should question Janov because of his crackpot ideas. Some of his crackpot ideas about heterosexual sex, orgasms being the meaning of life. Sex is the essence of life, says Janov. Obviously, I don't agree with that. What is the essence of life? I think that is yet to be discovered. I think we're in the process of discovering that right now as we speak. Well, you could say Janov is old. He has to write his truth while he's still alive. He has to propose his essence. He can't wait around forever. He's getting very old. You're still young. You're only 40. You have plenty of time with which to develop your essences. Well, that's not my fault that I'm young, that I have plenty of time left. Probably. If we go by pure statistical probability, I still have some time left on Earth. What shall I do with it? Shall I do a lot of DCB spending time talking to my web recorder? Maybe. Maybe that's what I think the meaning of life is. Talking into a web recorder about various topics, ultra-fictional topics. Why do you call it ultra-fictional? Why not just fictional philosophy? Well, because ultra-fictional sounds better, and this is important in this culture. How things appear, how things seem to be. Primal scene? what you're seen to do, what seems to be the case. Well, someone like Zizek is able to articulate various things. Sophisticated philosophical concepts. A critique of reality. A supposed radical alternative to the social tendencies which control people. I'm not against Zizek. I just tire of his performance. I crave my own performance. Maybe this is what it means to be a writer. You no longer need the performances of philosophers like Zizek. They lose all their meaning. They are drained of meaning. He is very animated. And his tics, of course, are very interesting and maybe even admirable. However, I have found that his voice is not saying the things I want to say. I have found that his brain is not thinking the things I want to think. Perhaps this is ignorance or prejudice on my part. Perhaps other people might hear Zizek and say, gee, doesn't he really have the truth? Who is this David character saying he has a different sort of truth? Well, I don't know. I guess I'm defenseless against a charge like that. I really have no defenses. I'm more open to attack. I'm more interested in simply chilling out, relaxing, articulating what I've learned to articulate, taking it easy. I guess this is not the recipe for a famous philosopher, maybe famous ultra-fictional philosopher. Maybe if that's what we're talking about, if that's really what we're supposing here, I guess I could get into doing more of this, into doing this more. Why wouldn't you want to do DCB spending time? Aren't you DCB, don't you spend time? Well, I don't always articulate my experience in complex verbal constructions suitable for broadcast onto the web. Not always, just sometimes. Sometimes I do articulate my experience in verbal constructions suitable for broadcast to the World Wide Web. Sometimes. I guess certain people at certain times versus all the people, all the time. That's what I call a slash distinction. Is that what people are doing, making slash distinctions? Such as David is looking into slash out of himself. Which is it? Or is it a cycle? Life is full of cycles, said Judy, so long ago. Life is full of circles, you could say. A circle is good, true infinity. A line is bad, false, linear infinity. So said Hegel, I think. At least that's what I remember him to have said. You would have had to have been doing this the whole time. Is this what you were doing the whole time? How good at this do you think you would get? Do you know what you'd have to do to get good at writing? Well, I know what I'd have to do to get good at computer programming. I think analogously, I know what I have to do to get good at writing. I think I know that. It's muscle memory and brain memory. Last night, falling asleep, I developed a new distinction. Are you letting your thoughts, your inner speech, resonate with the deep past, with memory, or are you merely letting them resonate with the present situation, with the now? The deep, dark past. I called it the memory turn, the turn to memory. It seems like you have a decision to make. Do you go back in time or do you stay here in a historical present moment? I think it's better to go back into deep, dark time. That's what I discovered last night, falling asleep. I have some of my best meditations falling asleep. I used to suffer when falling asleep. It caused me pain and stress. I was impatient. I guess I didn't know there are things you can do cognitively. There are cognitive activities you can perform when you're falling asleep in order to make the time valuable and worthwhile. I guess I didn't always know that. You still do like DCB spending time, although you haven't been doing a lot of it lately. Did you say everything you had to say? Did you undertake all the narrative possibilities? Isn't there any more narrative left inside you? Can't you unfold a story for us today? Are all your stories played out? Is this what you do? Is this what you consider? Well, if people were into verbal tics, then they'd really enjoy my book. Are people into verbal tics is the question. I think that question may have a more uncertain answer. I think people may not be certain if they're into them. Who would be into them? Well, writers seeking to avoid writer's block. That's basically what I was up to. I was a writer and I liked to write. I didn't like blocking. I didn't like being blocked. I liked to keep writing. So I developed repetitious semi-automatic phrases called verbal tics that I could generate at will on demand. The beauty of one of these things is that you don't have to think, but it gives you the enjoyment of writing to write it. It's like real writing, in other words. At least that's what I've been thinking about. That's what I've been doing. What seems to be happening as you communicate? This can be considered communication from one to many. It can be considered content creation, indeed, knowledge production. Judy's lesson, be careful which field you take your metaphors from, is a very important lesson indeed. Lately, I've been taking my metaphors from computer science. Well, what about the network? What about the interweb? Does it have the possibility to democratize communications? Well, Obama's push for so-called net neutrality is important, I think. The whole point of the interweb is that it's transparent. It's a neutral system where new players can gain dominance if their content is motivating and compelling. If you have a neutral system, new players are able to gain in popularity. That's the beauty of the network. Of course, the established powers, the media conglomerates, the media oligopolies, may be less interested in a neutral playing field. But as citizens in a democracy, we have the power to vote for representatives with our interests in mind. our interest is a transparent and neutral internet. This is just what I'm thinking about. I'm reading McChesney's Rich Media, Poor Democracy. The title says it all. Media, in his frame, is really communications. He would seek to make things more democratic, meaning under the control of the many as opposed to the few. Public media are essential for democracy. Commercialized interests are determined to deliver audiences to advertisers. They are not determined to increase the democratic flow of pertinent content and information to the various peoples, whereas a public media system would be dedicated to the free and independent flow of valuable information, education, and culture. Yes, you can say this is a lofty ideal. But in the engineering of culture and society, shouldn't those with the freedom to say anything, like myself, say the right things? If I can't say the right things, who would be able to? I have total freedom. I'm totally independent, at least with respect to my audio blog content. I can say anything I can imagine, dream of, or desire. So I'm going to utilize some lofty ideals. I think we could engineer a better society and a better world.